Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife, or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
And good evening. This is Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And this is Earl Cobb.
Our theme for tonight's show is the power of human worth and unleashing your full potential.
For better or worse, we are all habitual self-evaluators and self-doubters. Many of us have been intrigued by the claim attributed to Socrates that goes, "Unexamined life is not worth living." Such examination raises questions concerning our perception of personal worth and how we value ourselves as human beings. This has to do with self-esteem, self-image, ego, and the awareness of our existence. In a perfect world, each of us would be treated as a unique and important member of the human family and have no worries. However, because we do not live in a perfect world, discovering and understanding the power of our human worth can not only be difficult, but also painful. Sometimes it may involve overcoming insurmountable odds in order to find meaning and purpose in our lives. Do you know the power of your human worth? Do you know how to unleash your full potential?
And we are delighted to have with us James and Evans. James Evans has had an extraordinary journey as the 17th of 21 children born on a farm in rural Thomaston, Alabama. He moved to the inner city of Pritchard, Alabama at the age of 10 and suffered many hardships. He was able to transcend the difficult and painful obstacles of the inner city and went on to play football for Southern University and eventually the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after discovering his own inherent worth. James wanted to help others realize the same. He is now the CEO of Ego Quest Group, Inc., a motivational speaker, and the author of The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential. Welcome, James, to Living a Richer Life.
Good evening, Charlotte and Earl, and thank you for having me on the Life-Changing Talk Radio with your audience tonight. I want to say
Excellent.
That I feel very humble and privileged for the opportunity to speak with you and your audience today.
Well, we are glad you are here, and we will begin our interview with James Evans and our discussion on the power of human worth and how to unleash our full potential right after this message.
You're listening to Living a Richer Life, Life-Changing Talk Radio. We will open the phone lines at 25 minutes after the hour. Our toll-free number is 855-345-4714. You can also join the discussion via the blog page and on our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Now back to tonight's show.
And welcome back. Our theme tonight is the power of human worth and unleashing your full potential. And our interview guest is James Evans, CEO of Ego Quest Group, Inc., and former professional football player, motivational speaker, and the author of The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential. So, James, let me again thank you for being with us tonight. Now, we shared a little bit about you at the opening of the show, but
yes,
I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more and also tell us how you arrived at your current place in life.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up on a farm in Thomaston, Alabama. This is a small town up where we Selma, Alabama, most people are familiar with. It's about 45, 50 miles away from here. And we grew up on a farm, and in the early mornings, we would get up at the crack of dawn because our alarm clock was the rooster who would wake us up in the morning. And my brothers would get up and they would do the basic chores around the house. And you can imagine how challenging that was as a kid coming from a family of 21 siblings. And most people don't believe this statement, but it is true. I'm the 17th of those siblings. Mm-hmm. You know, I had four sisters, Desi, Shirley, Betty, and Mary, of course. And my 16 brothers was L.V., Ernie, Dumas, William, Clark, Joe, Philip, Victor, Lucas, Patrick, Daryl, Chris, Mark, Jack, and George. You know, and it was a very, very big family. So we would do our chores early in the mornings. We would make sure that we would go out into the fields. We were assigned duties. Of course, I was too small, but my brothers, and then they would complete the chores. They would complete the field, the corn, the okra, tending to all of that. And then we would, they would go off into the community and work for some of the farmers. And so I had a very serene life. Of course, I didn't get a chance to go to work with them, but what would end up happening was I had the opportunity to go down to the Sandy Creek and lay up under the pecan trees where life was simple. I would listen to the one-note songs of the birds who flew from tree to tree, or the bumblebees flying from flower to flower, because it was a garden of flowers in the valley where we lived. And it was very simple until I moved to the inner city when my Philip, at the age of nine, until my Philip, my brother Philip, got bit by a snake. We were all down by the creek, and he'd use a jackknife, and we could see the snake leaving away from Philip's body. And we knew he had been bitten, so he runs to the house with one of the loudest screams you can imagine. And so Philip was about a day or so in his room just in the corner. My brother comes from Mobile, Alabama, and he brings Philip to Mobile, puts him in the hospital, and thank God they didn't have to amputate his legs because, you know, it was a very severe, you know, infection that he had received and not properly being treated. And so that was the kind of life growing up on the, you know, on the farm and then moving to the inner city. And then and this collision happened. My brother Lee, one of my brother, got his brain shot out. My brother Clark got stabbed to death. Another brother gets beaten pretty bad to the point we didn't know whether he was going to live or die. My sister's quitting school, babies having babies, some other brothers going to prison. So I saw a little bit of everything, and it was very challenging until I went to college, to Southern University to play football, and on from college, of course, to the Kansas City Chiefs, and came here to Tampa and started a nonprofit, of course, to transition kids' lives, and it's just been an incredible journey. And
Indeed.
You know,
so, James, you know, that's an amazing journey, and as you know, the theme for tonight's show is the power of human worth and unleashing your full potential, which is actually the title of your book. So in your book and in the messages that you give and deliver, you talk a lot about human worth and self-awareness.
Absolutely.
And so in preparation for this show, we took a closer look at both of these concepts. Let's listen to what we found as it relates to human worth.
What is human worth? Well, a virtuous definition starts with the assumption that every human being counts. Every person is to be treated as a unique and important member of the human family. This respect for human worth is based on our intrinsic human nature, rather than on anything a person does. Attributing worth to a human being is accepting on faith and acting as if each person has within himself or herself the possibility of kindness, fairness, joy, and the capacity to create ethical relationships.
Wow.
Yeah, so,
you summed up my book.
James,
you just
Well, that's interesting because we were going to ask you, is that how you define human worth, especially the human worth you talk about in your books and your messages? How do you define human worth?
Absolutely. In my book, and it's really all the chapters is aligned with what your definition is. But the one that I talk about a lot is that human worth is our innate value at our core that defines us as worthy and gives us significance as a spiritual being with a conscious soul in a physical body. That's the definition that I've written and explained, and with the formula. And so I created this formula of what human worth is in a threefold argument.
Okay.
So I talk about it from the perspective of that we are spiritual. We are plus a conscious soul, plus a physical body connected by our free will at the same place, at the same time, equals human worth. And that's the argument I make day in and day out as I talk about this great discovery at our core that is authentic, that is real and genuine, that is powerful. It makes us, you can feel truth inside of you when you examine yourself from your core.
You know, that is that philosophical, sort of ethereal. I think for people who are faith-based, it's easy to grasp onto. But for those people who may not have a concept of, say, spiritual being or collective consciousness, if you would, what is human worth to them? Because as you know, society tries to define a person's worth. You know, one of the things Earl and I talk about is that perfect world. So if society in general had a true capacity for goodness, each person would not only deserve to be treated, but would be treated with the dignity and the consciousness and the spirituality that we were talking about. And that would help everybody know their human worth, but that's just not what happens.
Right. Well, let's take those who don't believe. One of my discussions is always is that everything in the universe is made of one thing. Everything in the universe, including human beings, energy. And the spirit of us is referencing to us being this force, this power that is alive. And if you don't believe in spiritual being, we are all energy, and that's the same thing. Because the spirit is nothing more than energy that, for me, it's alive. But that's all it is. But you are made of something. And this energy, this conscious soul, a mind and a heart, that's the conscious soul. And then there's the physical body itself with all of its many parts. That's what makes us human. And to be a human being, this homo sapien, this man or this woman or this child, you exist, you are alive, you matter, you count, you are worthy, and you are important, and you are significant. And that's human worth is all about.
So, but to know about your human worth, I believe, takes a deal of self-awareness. I'd like to talk a little bit about self-awareness. Maybe we can start by listening to this clip, James, and then we can...
Sure.
Talk a little bit about self-awareness.
Sure.
What is self-awareness? Self-awareness is a psychological state in which people are aware of their traits, feelings, and behavior. While self-awareness is something that is central to each and every one of us, it is not something that we are acutely aware of at every moment of the day. Instead, self-awareness becomes woven into the fabric of who we are and emerges at different points depending upon the situation and our personality. We are not born with self-awareness. However, researchers have demonstrated that the awareness of ourselves begins to emerge at around 1 year of age and becomes much more developed by around 18 months of age.
So this self-awareness Well, it's interesting because we've sort of created this juxtaposition right now. You're saying human worth is inherent in all of us.
Yes.
There's value in all of us, that it is like an inalienable right, but only more permanent. Right?
Yes. Right.
And then, but the reality is, if we're not self-aware enough to know that, then the whole thing could get lost. How do you define self-awareness, and how do people become self-aware?
Well, one of the way people, you define it is simply, when you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? That is one of the fundamental things that we have to do on a regular basis, is look in the mirror and ask the question, do we like what we see? Because self-awareness is simply knowledge about yourself. And to get to this knowledge, it requires us to reflect and know that we are human. And until we do that, we will struggle. Reflection is vital to us understanding our self-awareness. And these are very important things. Now, keep in mind, human worth is a birthright. Self-awareness, self-worth, self-esteem, all of those are concepts. They are learned. They can be increased and they can be decreased. Human worth, on the other hand, cannot. It is permanent. It is a birthright. It is the only time in life you're ever entitled to anything, your existence.
So
some people confuse. See, you can't earn human worth. It can't be tampered with because it was given to you at birth. And most people don't get it. So in other words, if I have $1 million and then it's taken away, that affects my self-awareness, my self-worth, my self-esteem. But it doesn't matter whether I have $1 million or $0, it has no impact on my human worth. And that's what people need to understand about the importance of human worth. It can't be increased, nor can it be decreased.
So you're saying that you can improve your level of self-awareness, you can get more aware, you can improve your self-concept and your internalizing your concept of your value, but you cannot maximize human worth?
You cannot. It is permanent. That is correct.
You cannot.
It has been given to you as equal as it has been given to every other human being. No one has more human worth than another human being. We all have an equal amount of worthiness. We all matter. We all count. And it is you taking upon yourself to valuing that worth so that you can improve your self-awareness, knowing more about you, knowing when not to compromise, knowing how to make good choices, knowing how to believe in yourself, standing firm on principles that matters to you. Because you are worthy of being who you are.
Okay. So, you know, I think about human worth and self-worth, and part of a wonderful thought and philosophy is that growing in knowledge and growing in self-worth. There's also the idea that was put forth by Abraham Maslow and Maslow's hierarchy of need. There's a quote, he says, a musician must make music, an artist must paint, a poet must write. If he is to be ultimately happy, what a man can be, he must be. This need we call self-actualization. So we've talked about the self-growth, if you would. So self-actualization, in my mind, is what it takes to get to full potential. It's like the fifth level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It is this theory of self-actualization only can come after we've met the physiological needs and the safety, the belongingness and self-esteem. So when you are speaking and counseling people, especially young people, have you found that your work in that you first have to help them get through and figure out the physiological and safety belongingness so that they can reach their full potential? How do you talk to young people?
Well, I get young people, first of all, I like to say yes about the physiological.
Okay.
Society has failed them in that regard, getting young people to really understand. See, innately, there are certain traits that no one can give us. They came with our existence, such as what you're asking, survival.
Mm-hmm.
That's an innate instinct. We adapt daily to with our survival skills, even to the point of violence. We define violence as part of survival, and we're not animals, and we can reason.
Mm-hmm.
So when we stoop to that level, we've lost sight of what it means to have human worth. And as I talk to young people, and society has failed them in that regard, it's because young people have created from this failure is a lifestyle of illusions of the three things in my book called worthlessness, hopelessness, and lifelessness. Because when those three things emerge, you're in denial of what is reality. We hide behind the mask. And the kids today, I tell them, if I can help you come from behind your mask, then the way you will judge me will be genuine. But you cannot judge me wearing a mask, because what you are perceiving is a false reality of what you're looking at, because you have not dealt with yourself. And once I can get young people to come from behind the mask, because they don't, you know, they do not have to, you know, they have to recognize that they count, that they matter. And here's why you're significant, because 70 billion people have walked upon this planet, and not one can do what you do, say what you say, or go where you can go. You're unique. You're one of a kind. You are bona fide and qualified and duly certified to be you. And I have to get them to do what is called a paradigm shift in their mindset. They got to shift their thinking. You know, if that makes sense.
It does. And I know you talk a little bit about this idea of transformational change. So, but James, before we do this, I know it's hard to believe that it's already about 25 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
I know. Let's take a quick break here. When we return, we're going to continue with our potential on really reaching our full potential. I'd like to talk about the top three challenges that most young people face in trying to reach their full potential. I know we've talked about a little bit of it. So when we return, we're going to continue our discussion with you, James Evans, on the power of human worth and unleashing our full potential, and learn more about your book, The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential, as well as a little bit about your new book that's soon to be released. You know,
Thank you.
Will also open up the phone lines and take comments and questions from our listening audience. Remember to press the number 1 on your keypad if you have a question or comment. You can also meet us on the blogtalkradio.com/richerlifechatline, email us at info@richerlifellc.com, or send us a tweet at @richerlifetalk. We'll be back right after this message.
Don't forget to join us again next Thursday night, July 30th. Our theme for next week's show is listening to the voice in your head, seeking a higher level of consciousness. And our very special interview guest will be Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, noted lecturer and author of The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head, only here on blogtalkradio.com/richerlife.
And welcome back, everyone. Our theme tonight is the power of human worth and unleashing your full potential. And our interview guest is James Evans, CEO of Eagle Quest Group, Inc., former professional football player, motivational speaker, and the author of The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential. And James, before we take our emails and chat and calls, I wanted to get back to this idea of how we can help this generation of young people come and reach their full potential. What are the top three challenges that you think young people face in trying to reach their full potential?
And when you talk about the word full potential, I try to get young people to learn how to be their own hero.
Okay.
A lot of times they don't look within themselves, and they get discouraged in trying. Because and what I found out, because they don't believe that they can achieve things, there were three things I discovered when I was writing. The first is they didn't have confidence in themselves.
Okay.
The number one thing, and all the great scholars will tell you, if you have no confidence, you will not be successful. That's just the way it is. I didn't make the rules.
No.
I didn't coin the phrase. The reality is, when we are not confident in ourselves, number one, we will not succeed very well.
First, let me take you even to your sports career, right? Confidence, and I think sometimes young people will look out and they'll see what someone else is doing, not realizing that there was a lot of self-talk, that it takes a lot of self-talk, even no matter how long you've been playing, to get out on that field every time you get out there.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's number two is they don't think for themselves. They don't think. People are thinking for them, their peers. You know, I looked at a study from the University of Michigan, and I looked at the top five influences in their lives. And from 1950 all the way to 2000. And what was interesting, their peers in the late 80s or in the early 50s were ranked like fifth, fourth. By the time it got to the 80s, their peers was number two. Media was number five in the 50s.
Right.
When they got to 2000, media was number one in terms of their influence, what influenced their lives the most. And then the third one, of course, is afraid to fail.
Right.
Our kids are so absorbed with anxiety if they fail or get embarrassed or trying to try. They will quit. They will never appear, never show up. They will never start because they are afraid to fail.
Wow.
And that is the formula for success.
Wow.
And these are the top three challenges that I deal with as I travel and talk to many young people and coaching them back to being their own heroes within themselves, to find bravery and courage, to be unselfish, you know, to face fear, you know, fortitude and tenacity and perseverance. Yes, you can do great things. Who told you you couldn't? And when you started believing that.
Okay.
And so those
are the
three fundamental, which is not confident in themselves, they don't think for themselves, and they are afraid to fail.
This is a great time, I think, to just go in and check with our callers or email. Earl, do we have any callers or conversation in the chat room?
Well, hello, James, and hello, Charlotte. We've got a very active chat room and email. We also have callers, and we remind our listeners that if you have called in to listen to the show tonight, hit that number one on your phone so that we can know that you want to be a part of the show tonight. But let's take a couple of very good emails that I've got in that I think obviously these people were listening earlier, James, to some things you were saying. Let me take the first one here. It says, you mentioned that we should look in the mirror and like what we see. I don't have a problem there, but what if others don't like what they see? How can I help them understand my true worth?
And that's a very profound question, and thank the person for sending that in. what that person has to be careful of, we can't own anyone else's human worth. The danger is what this person is potentially trying to describe to me is you are trying to fix other people. We don't own anybody's problems but our own. We can give them suggestions. We can make recommendations. We can get them mentors. We can get them involved into a positive environment. But what we can't do is try to own people's problems. See, the more you try to control others, the more out of control you become. So you got to be careful when you're trying to own someone else's inadequacies about their human worth. Just be careful and manage it very delicately, because there's a balance when you're trying to give people advice. Especially if they don't want it, you're going to run into major issues.
Good comment. Very good.
And Charlotte, let's take one more email while we're in that general area. It says, Mr. Evans, you said that human worth cannot be increased or decreased. My worth in my mind, Marita here, is not the same as self-awareness. Self-awareness is more about finding out who I am. Do you agree?
Yeah. Okay. Now, repeat the question one more time, if you could.
It says, Mr. Evans, you mentioned that human worth cannot be increased or decreased. In my mind, human worth is not the same as self-awareness. Self-awareness is finding out who you are inside. Do you agree?
I agree, totally. Self-worth is a concept. It is a construct. It is man-made. Human worth is a birthright. It is an entitlement. It comes with purpose. Human worth does. The reason we exist is to connect to one another and the creator or whatever you believe in. We have to understand, we have to love ourselves because we can recognize our own human worth. The aim is to make a positive connection with others because they also have human worth. There's a birthright involved in this. There's essential elements. In other words, essential elements are all of the positive traits that you're born with. It's reaffirming that you're awesome, that you are amazing, that you're spectacular. Okay. This starts in what is called the conscious soul. The spirit is pure. When people tell us that we are not pure, yes, we are. We're pure in spirit or energy, because energy is constant. It cannot be changed. The spirit is the same as we're taught. So therefore, it is very important we understand these type of elements that exist in us, even moral characteristics. We are good. We are wonderful. We've learned a lot of the things that are going on in our society that is negative. And we have to restore ourselves back to that rightful place that we are worthy to be a human being.
Well, very good. You know, James, I appreciate that. I particularly appreciate what you said about reaffirming, because for a little while I was a little lost, because a permanent human worth kind of begs the question of, well, if that's the truth, why don't we see it from the beginning? But what I'm hearing you say is that it's there. We reach out, and everything we do that reaffirms our belief in the goodness of ourselves and others, we are moving toward recognizing the power of human worth. So
that is correct.
You wrote this. Oh, very good. I'm so glad I got it.
Because, see, what you just said is human worth is innate. It has nothing, so you can't lose it. It can't be stolen.
It can't be lost
by force.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with you anymore other than you were giving the gift. See, a lot of times
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I don't want to, we're getting close to the end of our time, and I don't want to lose time to talk a little bit about your book. So I really would, if members of our listening audience were to pick up a copy of the book, and we're talking about it, The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential, what would they find in your book?
I think they would find reflection, a lot of reflecting on who am I and where did I come from, what gives my life meaning and purpose, you know. They will find out how do we see ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They will look at transformational change. It's okay to let go, and change is inevitable. We all got to face that. They would look at these core things that what makes us human. And I think that's what they would find. Me being authentic with who I am, looking in the mirror. There was a time I didn't like what I saw. You know, I was hiding behind a mask, coming from a family of 21 kids. My brothers and sisters dying all around me.
Right.
I'm hurting. Growing up on a farm where life was peaceful and serene, and then it turned chaotic. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing that discovery. It's okay to be me. Nobody's perfect. And that's, I think, what the people and your audience will journey upon.
Oh, very good. So how would you suggest it be read? Is it the cover to cover? You know, the idea of reflection for me suggests I can pick up a section and maybe personally reflect on that section.
Yeah.
How would you suggest our audience and your readers read this book?
Yeah, Charlotte, I think what you hit it right on the head. The book is to be read, you know, just in dosage. You find a section and you stay with it. You look at self-esteem. You look at self-worth. Those are concepts. You get into the concept of self, and you can just take them slowly and reflect upon them in your own journey, in your own experience, you know, like I did. When I started, especially with the new book, the Jesuit priest wrote something, and I thought, Teilhard Chardin wrote it. He says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience.
Okay.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me rephrase that. He said that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings on a human journey.
Okay.
And that is the part of me that I've had to come to the realization that I want to embrace personally for me. I'm on this journey, but it's not physical. It's a force, or this energy. It's something more. And I'm just appreciative of being on this journey with you and Earl. You know, I'm appreciative. And I think that's how you want to read this book. Read it as if you're on a journey. Take your time and digest it. Because when the next one comes out, it's going to be deep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, I had a little bit of precursor in talking to you about the new book. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, in the new book, the title of it is I Have Worth. And so do you.
Oh.
And I've learned in this book, I've exhausted my entire life, that I can't tell someone else's story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to tell my story.
Okay.
And I'm not worthy to tell people what to think or what to believe or what to feel in this book, how I make the approach. I'm merely inviting people to open up their minds and challenge themselves on all the social dynamics, all the personal dynamic. When I mean social dynamic, I'm talking about the culture, the environment, the family, the peers, the media, the church, the school. All of those are social dynamics that have manipulated us into the behaviors and the belief that we've arrived in our personal dynamic, our attitude, our opinions and our beliefs and our habits, all of these things. And a lot of it is ego when we really get down to the core of it, because beliefs create a strong position on things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us fragile to being worthy of who we are. And this is what this book is all about. It talks about being unhealthy ambitions and excessive greed. It talks about destructive criticism, how to recover your human heart. And I can go on, being authentic self and being a good person. What does that really mean? Respect, pure motive and humility and clarity, empathy and compassion. When you really get to the core of us, all these things are us. Because you can't lose human worth. You can only lose sight of it.
Oh, okay.
You can only lose sight of it.
I think that is a clarifying statement. You can only lose sight of it. James, I can't believe we're almost out of time. And
hopefully you'll invite me back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we will. And the idea that you just said, that we can't lose sight of it, it's extremely powerful. If I give you a minute, could you leave me some final thoughts and leave some final thoughts with our listeners?
Absolutely. I want to leave with the understanding of human worth is all about teaching you to be whole. This is not about a religion. This is not about right or wrong. This is a key principle about wholeness, starts with us recognizing our human worth. It is that part of us that is broken that we must restore to its rightful place. We must reclaim our wholeness so that we can do great things moving forward.
Excellent. With that note, we are out of time for tonight's show. James, I thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been a true pleasure. You can learn more about James M. Evans and his work by visiting his website at www.eaglequestgroup.com. You can purchase a copy of James Evans' book, The Power of Human Worth, Unleash Your Potential, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and anywhere quality books are sold. Now, thanks to all of you for joining and participating in tonight's show. Remember to go to our broadcast page at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife and click the blue follow button and show your support for this weekly broadcast. We'll be back with you again next Thursday night. Until then, continue to live a richer life.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.